Hello, and welcome back after the long weekend. This is the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Monday, November 30th, 2020.
Bitcoin is at 19,450. It is so exciting. It's up about 5% from yesterday. Ethereum's at 609, up 5% from yesterday also. This is so exciting. We are, so depending on who you ask, we may or may not have crossed the all-time high today. So the all-time high that I've seen around is 19,750, 780. That was the crypto. That's what CoinMarketCap is saying the all-time high was. CoinMarketCap is, of course, an aggregate from across a bunch of different exchanges. What I think is more fun, though, is I pulled a few different all-time highs from different exchanges. So Gemini is actually the highest all-time high. It's funny, though, like when I talk about crypto and I talk about the all-time high, I always say that it hit 20K. And I swear to God that I remember seeing it at 20K, but I guess not. I don't know. Whatever. So Gemini is the highest at 19,999. That was their all-time high. Coinbase hit 19,892. Bitfinex hit 891. And then Kraken, oddly enough, was the one trailing the pack at 19,660. So we've definitely crossed Kraken's all-time high. But we are gunning for Gemini's all-time high. I don't know what that says. Like, I feel like there's some deep thinking to do about the different arbitrages there and the different all-time highs. Because it's a pretty big range, but whatever. You know, back then in 2017, there was not sophisticated arbitrage going on. A lot of the exchanges, you couldn't even move coins around particularly easily. So, that's probably a big part of it. So anyways, that's super exciting. Ethereum's also on a bit of a run. You know, tonight is the night. Within the next 4 hours, the Ethereum 2 network is going to go live, hopefully, assuming there's no enormous issues. So when that happens, I think that has a big chunk to do with why Ethereum's up. Everyone's excited about it. You know, I don't think there's gonna be a huge pop tomorrow or anything. You know, it's not gonna overnight change the number of transactions happening on the Ethereum chain or anything. It's really more of a technical behind the scenes kind of thing. But it's obviously gonna be in the news. It'll be all over the news tomorrow. When you see a lot of news stories, people will absolutely buy into it. So I'd say expect more Ethereum up tomorrow and Bitcoin too. Let's get to that 20K.
All right, very exciting times. So thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So up first, a compound user liquidates 49 million and the price oracle is blamed.
Is a compound user was liquidated for 49 million. So this is, so we've talked about a lot of different flash loan attacks. This is one that I hadn't seen before. I think because I'm not sure why I hadn't seen it before, but it's a really interesting one. So let's go back a little bit ways to how different lending services. So MakerDAO, Compound work. Essentially what you do is you put up a certain amount of collateral. And then you, based on the collateral you put up, you can then borrow some sort of money from it. So with MakerDAO, the way it works is you put up collateral and then they mint tokens based on that collateral. With Compound, it's more of a loaning kind of thing, but very similar, right? You're putting up collateral and you get tokens. At some point, you have a threshold. At some point, if your value of your collateral drops below the value of your loan or a certain percentage of the value of your loan, you can get liquidated. What that means is that someone can run a smart contract that will actually go, this is part of the ecosystem. This is how it works, is there are people who are watching every single loan that's outstanding on Compound. And if they see that you are in a liquidation range, they make a very simple call to a smart contract, and that will basically liquidate your assets, or it lets you sell portions of, or like swap out portions of their collateral, or even withdraw portions of their collateral. So it's getting a haircut from the bank. Like if you put up your house, they come out and they take like half your house away or something. Or like when you get repoed is probably the better example. So it's your car getting repoed because you didn't pay your loan. So with this was a combination of a flash loan attack against compound against Curve. So someone saw that someone had $49 million, and there was actually a bunch of this all over the place, but it was $90 million total. But the person, one person in particular, got really dinged on this, which someone had $49 million in compound, which is a lot of money. It's just a staggering amount of money. And they were close enough to their collateral limits that someone went in, did a flash loan attack against, which manipulated the price of Curve. Now, this is super interesting because Curve is, you know, Compound was using Curve as a price oracle. Curve is not a price oracle. Compound should not be using Curve as a price oracle. Like Chainlink is a price oracle because it's non-manipulable on an individual block level. Like over time, it's manipulable, but not on individual block level. Curve is manipulable because it's essentially sitting on top of a bunch of AMMs. So you can manipulate the value of Curve within a single transaction. So if you are a service using Curve to back it, to back your service for price oracle duties, you are exposing your users to potential issues of this type of attack. So basically what they did is they manipulated the price on Curve to the point where this $49 million of coin of collateral was liquidatable. And then they went and liquidated it. I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's super, super, super interesting. I hadn't heard of an attack like this before. Usually it's because people keep enough, they keep enough buffer. Like, it's hard, you know, if you keep 20% buffer in your collateral, which is you're over collateralized by 20%, it's hard to move Curve 20%. I don't know exactly. There hasn't been a lot of details published about this, so I don't know exactly what the number that they move Curve, but you normally see 7% kind of moves in these flash loan attacks. 7-10%, I think, is somewhere that's reasonable. Moving this is, I mean, this is staggeringly a lot of money. So anyways, that's what happened. This is a new attack that's out there. I guess what I would say is if you're going to put $49 million into a yield farming exercise, maybe, I don't know, decide like diversify across a few of them.
All right. Very interesting. Yeah. So another Wall Street giant is going to invest $500 million in Bitcoin on November 27th, the Guggenheim Fund Trust filed an amendment with U.S. Security Exchange Commission to allow for their Bitcoin fund.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say this is strictly new. The macro fund that they're doing this out of has actually been in the news a few times for this, but it is super interesting. I mean, this is a huge double down. Look at everything right now is looking like we're about to enter a really significant bull run with institutional money behind it. Like, there's no way of looking at this and not thinking that that's what's about to happen. Now, that doesn't mean it is going to happen, but there's no way of looking at what's going on right now and not think that's about to happen. I think that, you know, there's a lot of this pandemic uncertainty that has made people be a little bit more aware of a dystopian future. And that is, and I think that is kind of leaning towards this, is that everyone is just a little bit more on edge that there may actually be a horrific end point in time when you can't rely on governments to do stuff as you could not rely on the U.S. government to adequately, you know, put up a defense for COVID. So that, you know, people that are savvy of that will look at that and say, okay, well, it's time for us to start hedging, and Bitcoin is a hedge against governments and dystopia. So I don't know. I think we're on the verge of a very major bull run.
So Niall Ferguson had a piece in Bloomberg today that really promoted Bitcoin.
Yeah, I love Niall Ferguson. He's the guy who wrote, there's a book called The Ascent of Money. If you haven't read it, you got to read it. If you have any interest at all in financial systems, it is delightful. So essentially his piece was really interesting, and it kind of echoed some of the things I just said, that, you know, he made this argument that people have realized how important digital currency is during the pandemic, both because of the dystopian futures, but then also because of it was the first time that a lot of people have bought stuff online. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was his argument, and I'll buy it. Yeah, I think it was really interesting. Like, there's, you know, people have been buying stuff online in a way that they never had before, even if it's not the first time, like, they've dedicated themselves to during the pandemic. He also went into a lot of detail on some other really interesting stuff. So one thing that he talks about in this article is that the M2, which is the which is one of the monetary measures in the US, has been growing at a 20% rate year over year. That's basically how much money the Fed has been printing, which is compared to about a 6% average since 1982. So everyone is concerned about the dollar being overprinted. I mean, this is universal, and I think that this is, and with, especially as we're standing on the cusp of another, you know, $1 trillion stimulus package probably coming out. out. So everyone is very conscious of that. Hedges against that are really high on that. The other thing that he sort of said, the main thrust of his article, which I loved, was that he sort of said that Joe Biden should really make a concerted effort to integrating Bitcoin into the financial system. And one of the arguments he made, which I thought was so interesting, I hadn't thought about before, was that the U.S. dollar and U.S. security laws already tend, and financial system laws already tend to lean towards privacy and liberty. I mean, that's sort of, you know, America in general tends to be more of a privacy-centric country. And so in this case, like, a cryptocurrency, I don't know if it has to be Bitcoin necessarily, but like a cryptocurrency is not against that. Like a cryptocurrency actually lines up really well with the United States' beliefs in liberty and privacy. So like compared to like China, who wants a cryptocurrency that they can then have full visibility into every single transaction that every one of their citizens does, from an authoritarian standpoint, the U.S. should actually really work hard to embrace a more a less authoritarian and more peer-to-peer kind of, you know, privacy center coin. So great article. We'll publish the link to it. It's really, really interesting. I thought he was spot on a lot of his assessment.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one.